I'd like you to turn to Mark chapter 16, if you would. Mark chapter 16. And we have quite a bit of ground to cover this morning. Thank God for resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
And here we are the week after Sunday. And we have so much to be grateful for, so much to celebrate in God's presence. And that's what worship's all about, as we are able to gather together and worship Him. But I want to talk for a few minutes in setting up something very exciting that we're going to be embarking upon. We have something that's coming that I believe will absolutely strengthen you in your walk with Jesus Christ, be a blessing and encouragement to you in your walk with Jesus. And we're going to set the flow for that this morning. What was that, ladies? I see. Very good. There's a praise report there somewhere. I'm not sure. No. Okay. That's one of the things you can do in a small church, and people go, oh, I get that. I have a lot of scripture and things to share, but walk with me in current events. Marches in the streets. Police and riot gear. Berkeley. In the news. People can talk. People can't talk. Don't like your tone. Don't like your attitude. Don't like what you believe. Doesn't matter what side it is. How many can agree with me and say amen this morning? Government is never going to have all the answers. And government isn't the answer to men and women's souls. And nobody's going to be able to legislate what only Jesus Christ can deal with. One heart at a time. You're not going to be able to get enough legislation to dedicate and dictate morality. You're not going to be able to disperse the crowds because you tell them to go, although there is law and anarchy is ungodly and not the way. But you're not going to be able to disperse crowds just because you want to dictate to them. It takes one heart at a time, one life to change, one person at a time. How many know that Jesus Christ is the answer? The old song says, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Andre Crouch wrote that song, back 68, 70, somewhere in that time frame. Police and riot gear and prayer for world peace and prayer for revival. We have a need around the world. And you may remember the song, Dan, you'll probably remember it with me, but a few of you might remember some of the former rockers in the crowd because the song says, Ball of Confusion. That's what the world is today. Yeah. Ball of Confusion. Okay, now there's your test. Who knows the song? Ball of Confusion by The Temptations. You know, they stand here and do the choreography. I actually Googled it last night. About 3:30 in the morning, I was watching The Temptations doing the Ball of Confusion. Yeah, really. Ball of Confusion. That's what the world is today. The song was a hit in 1970, and it's every bit as true today. But let me talk to you about something. The cry of hearts and the rioting in the streets. Do you know what answer God raised up? Check back to your spiritual history, because the Jesus People movement came as an answer to the cry of people's hearts. And about 1970 started in the West Coast and began to sweep over the nation. The charismatic move, where the gifts of the Spirit and the charismata, the Greek word in the Bible, began to sweep over the nation, had been happening for about 8 to 10 years at that point. But people began to get saved, one after the other after the other. And you would see crowds. You Google it now. Google the Jesus People movement, and you see crowds of people like you saw at Woodstock, only without the nakedness and the drugs. People holding up pictures of Jesus because He is the answer. Someone say amen.
Amen.
He's the answer for the world today. And God is going to raise up a fresh move of the Spirit of God to sweep around this earth. I am praying, I am believing, We are laboring for the reality of Jesus Christ to be present in the earth today. How many want to see a fresh move of God? Come on. How many want to see God do something fresh where you see your neighbors healed and you see your families healed and you see God reach into hearts and people that have lost all hope and are ready to commit suicide, transfer their life into the hands of Jesus and the Lord heals hearts and answers questions and melts the hard heart into peace. He's the only one who can do it. In a ball of confusion. Jesus gives the mission. Mark 16, verse 15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28, 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, the word teach is in the King James, and you'll see the different variations of that theme. Go teach all nations out of the New King James. Well, I thought this was all casual. You know, you're just supposed to show up to church every now and then and call it good. No, he says, I'm looking for disciples to give your heart and life to Jesus because he radically changes us and then we can reach out with his good news to others. Aren't you glad for the way it all works? Come on, turn to each other and say, Jesus is gooder than you think. Out of the Message version, Matthew 28, verse 19, go out and train everyone you meet far and near in this way of life. But in order to go, you've got to know. I said, in order to go, you've got to know. You've got to know what you believe. Know in whom you have believed. Know what you have to give away and who you have to give away. The world, now listen carefully to me. The world wants to press the church into a little corner. It's just fine if you will go worship with your buddies on Sunday morning, talk about Jesus if you want. Don't get too radical. Talk about Jesus. And then when you go out to lunch, eat what you want, but don't say anything. Now listen, that's the law again in Russia. That's the law in a lot of countries around the face of the planet. You can't take Jesus outside of the church. But Jesus is the only answer. We have militant Islamists, jihadists, who are coming to give their life to Jesus by the scores, by the hundreds, and by the thousands, because Jesus is being taken outside the church by courageous people, and people are also having dreams in the middle of the night where Islamists or the jihadists are waking up having had a dream about Jesus, literally, by the scores and by the thousands. The reports of revival are coming in. But people want you to shut up. How many know that's not the heart of God? We just read it. Go. Share. Teach. Reach. Tell the good news. Now look, we're not here to shove Jesus down anybody's throat. But we have to understand the mission and not apologize for it. And reach out with the love of Jesus. Do you know people all around you need the love of Jesus that you've got? Come on, I said they need the love of Jesus you got. You sure? You sure you want to listen to this morning? Pastor Kev, you're going to send me to Africa? No. Right here on your own block. In your own street. I can only believe what I've received. I can only give what I have. Each of us need to, if you will, own the mission. Jesus has given us a mission, and each of us need to own it. Do you have the mission vision? The mission vision. You've got outrageously good news to give away. Come on. You've got outrageously good news to give away. Now, we're involved in a different kind of war. We will not shy away in this church. In fact, we will use what the Bible's theme is. There's a theme called spiritual warfare. we're engaged in a different kind of war. We're not going to go out and try to shove anything down anybody's throats. We're not going to force it. We're going to bring the love of Jesus, but on our knees, we're going to pray. And on our knees, we're going to cry out to God for our neighbors, for our family. And we're going to keep bringing the good news of Jesus and the Word of God into societies and into life where we need to see, what does the Bible say? The kingdom of God come on earth as it is where? Jesus taught us to pray that way, didn't he? Jesus didn't say, now go sit down, shut up, and don't talk. That's not what he said. He said, go tell. The good news of Jesus. Turn to each other and say, go tell it. We wage a different kind of warfare. Watch the scripture. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. Put on, the Bible says, the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks, the trickery, the cunning craftiness of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, watch it out of another translation, out of the New Living. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You've all been involved in conversations when somebody just literally, unprovoked, takes your head off. Anybody, come on, besides me, ever been there? Hopefully you're not raising hands because you did it, or I did. No. But sometimes we've been involved in conversations where it happens, and you go, whoa, where did that come from? The Bible says sometimes people listen or yield to a wrong spirit. What do? You do your best to hang in there and love them and say, oh, okay, I think I'll disengage from this one right now. But you sit there and you go, Lord, I just take authority over that spirit in Jesus' name. It's a spiritual warfare. And sometimes people, the scripture talks about people opposing themselves. And there's a struggle going on. And sometimes people say things, I know I have said things I wish I'd never said. And I yielded to the wrong attitude, if you will, at that time. But this is what the Bible says. And out of the message, watch, it's powerful. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. How many want to stand up to anything the devil throws our way? That's what the Bible says. This is, watch this. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. So what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it, church? We're going to teach the Word of God. We're going to equip the saints, because the saints of God, the church of Jesus, needs to be strong in understanding the Word, have the Word of God written, the Bible says, in their hearts and in their minds, trust in Jesus, love Him, know Him, be confident of what you believe, and believe that you can have victory in the Lord. Someone say amen. So what are we going to do? We're going to see Grace Christian Center move into a program over these next many weeks. We're going to talk about it, and then we're going to start a program called, say it with me, please, Launching Your Faith. Faith alive in the 21st century. Not in the last century, but in this century. A spiritual armada, if you will. Faith alive in the 21st century, where you pray and you seek God and you see Him move and change some lives, and you see the aircraft carriers and the destroyers and the subs, and they go out. In this case, they went out for military action. We're going out for spiritual action. How many want to see revival birth through the earth? We've got a job to do. You know you were saved for something greater. S-F-S-G. Say it with me. S-F-S-G. Turn to each other and say it. S-F-S-G. S-F-S-G. What does it mean? Saved for something greater. All right, let's look at it. Let's take a part of this. A vital teaching series to help you launch and sustain your Christian faith. To vibrantly grow in Jesus and in His family. How many think that would be helpful in your life? All right? To understand and be transformed by His Word. You know, it's not just casual, it's being transformed by the Word of God. Take an alive faith to the world. How many want to bring your alive faith in Jesus to the world. How many think, I probably could revisit my foundations. I probably could understand this better. I bet I could understand this better. And if I do, I might be able to have more answers for people. Huh? You understand? Some of you are looking at me like, so what's this going to cost me? Everything. No, we're not going to charge for this program, but we're going to look at the Word of God together. We're going to take some time, because what is this all about? This is all about teaching to empower believers in Jesus Christ to release ministry, because I believe Jesus wants to do something magnificent and fresh. You were saved for something greater. S-F-S-G. All right, what do we want to do? Why sail into launching your faith? Why do this? Because we want to know and experience what the Bible teaches. Amen? Not just enough to know. Have you ever been involved in a conversation where somebody looks at you and they say, well, what do you believe about this? And most of the time, lots of times, if you're going to be honest, you go, I believe what the church believes about that. They go, well, so what does the church believe about that? And you go, the church believes what the pastor teaches about that. Well, what's the pastor teach about that? Well, the pastor teaches what the Bible teaches about that. What's the Bible? I don't know. Get off my case. We need to know, what does the Scripture teach? What does the Bible teach? It's not Christianity. It's not making God in my image. It's being fashioned in His image. It's learning what He says according to His Word. So we want to launch into the future with biblical confidence and not fear. I do believe there is a chaos that is loosed in our land that wants Christians to be very afraid. But you've got the message of power and life in Jesus Christ to bring answers and help and deliverance to people. You've got the answer. It's not billions in self-help. It's the answer in Jesus. How about to bring Jesus to the world? Anybody want to do that better? We want to bring Jesus to the world. And then number four, what we want to do is help you do all that Jesus has called you to do, to be able to say, and say it with me, please, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. Watch. As Christians, we're all on a faith journey. We are. You're moving somewhere. You're doing something. Look at each other and say, you're a mover and a shaker. Some people are just beginning or launching their walk with the Lord. Some people are on course and they know it. Some people are uncertain and they know it. Launching your faith can help you refresh the heart and reclarify the vision of your walk with Jesus. That's what it's all about. Some people might want to say, oh, well, what's this church teach? This will help answer that. Some people say, how may I engage in more spiritual ministry? This will help answer that. I'll get it out. The Greek word Jesus spoke from the cross twice in the New Testament, tetelestai, either pronunciation, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. The conquering general went out to war and he paraded those who he had conquered back in front of them. And the crowd shouted, tetelestai. Mission accomplished. The prisoner, after he paid his debt in prison, they would take down the sheet that had all of the violations he had done. And he scribbled across that sheet, tetelestai, paid in full. When you would go to purchase at the marketplace, the Greek word that was used as they wrote up a bill of sale was tetelestai, paid in full. And Jesus at the cross of Calvary says, tetelestai. Mission accomplished. Paid in full. There's a reason why he did that. Because he wants us to be able to say at the end of your days, Lord, I did what I could do. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. We invite you to take this journey, to sail on, to cooperate with His grace and fulfill that for which Jesus has called you. Welcome to launching your faith.